And good morning, it's 7:14. Welcome back to Spirit Mornings here on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network. I'm Bruce McGregor here in the studio, T. Scott Maher in the newsroom. And on a mission trip in Huehuetenango in Guatemala, we have my lovely wife, Chris, joining us today. We have switched phones. Of course, we had some technical difficulties yesterday. It was rather difficult for quite a few people to hear what was going on with the report. And I'm going to guess, based on our little preliminary talk here, that things are a lot cleaner in terms of our cell phone connection today. Good morning, honey.
Good morning, my dear.
Well, that makes all the difference in the world.
Well, you can thank Father Damien Zerline for that. And anything he touches seems to get just a little bit better and nicer. And I think that's what our phone connection has done.
All right. Well, I think what we probably should do this morning, honey, is just kind of recap where you were yesterday. Because, as we said, it was we heard from a lot of people. It was kind of difficult to hear what you were talking about.
Well, the first thing I want to say to all the families of all the missionaries that are here, that everybody right now, everybody's healthy, everybody's happy, and they're all glad they're here. Okay?
Praise God.
That's very important. We've experienced extraordinary hospitality from the people of Guatemala, especially from the pastoral team for the Diocese of Huehuetenango. They have just been phenomenal, just caring for our every need and concern, and it's been wonderful. But let me tell you, it's freezing cold. It is so cold here. I mean, you talk about solidarity, and I know that so many people before I left kept saying, oh, you're so lucky you're going to go where it's warmer. Let me tell you, folks, if you don't have heat in your home when it is 40 degrees, it is bone-chilling cold, and it is really hard to get warm. Whoa! But we're okay. The good humor that we all have, and that we have come to truly appreciate what it is to gather around a fire. And that's what we did yesterday. We all huddled around in our hotel, because the hotels that we're staying at are very, well, I'd say nice, but there's no heat. There's no heater.
Right.
So, I mean, it's cold. It's cold. But as I said before, we're very, very blessed to have each other, you know, our good joy and all of our long time. Trying to stay warm. Well, it's solidarity. And, you know, our hearts go out to the people of the area, because they're used to this time of year being cold, but even this cold snap is difficult for them.
Sure.
And so we just, our prayers are with them, and I guess that's what solidarity is all about.
Right.
For those who may not have heard yesterday, our flight in was really quite wonderful, as opposed to when we came on the last mission trip, at least the one that I was on 2 years ago. We came in during the day this last Saturday. It was beautiful, sunny, chilly, but that's okay. We all gathered on this. We're sharing a micro bus where we are four across, absolutely jam packed in, and it's fun. The pastoral team said, maybe we should get two buses, and we're going, no, we don't want to do that, because this has really helped us all to kind of bond together and made the journey up and around the hills and the mountains. It's made it great, and everybody on this mission, Bruce, there's such a joy, whether you're Barb and Bill Schumacher or Tom and Linda Mertz, couples that have been waiting to go on this for a couple of years now. They all feel as though there's such a peace and a joy, because they feel they're responding to something God has been tugging on their heart to do for so long. There's something about going out and responding to that call that the Lord has put on our hearts, that doesn't matter what the adversity is. There's something bigger here. It's responding in love to God's call, and then encountering such love from the people that we have met here, that the adage is true. We think we're going to come and bring them something. I don't know. I think there's more being done for us here than anything that we could possibly do for them. It's really quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, our first night we drove in. We were going through the mountains, and we were in Antigua. Antigua is one of the oldest cities in Guatemala. It's buildings that are probably date back to the 1500s. And just beautiful that they're surrounded by volcanoes, and they still experience active earthquakes. And portions of that whole area are just demolished because of the earthquakes that happen in the area. But they don't tear them down, because they're historical consequence, but they can't really restore them because the funds aren't there. So you get a sense of what they have to deal with every day as we stood on the top of our hotel roof on that first night, looked over and could see the volcanoes pluming, all the smoke coming out of the tops of the volcano. If you've never seen that before, it's really quite breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
And we celebrated Mass in the cathedral with these beautiful people. Again, they're so tiny, Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
You would be just a giant. But we went into their cathedral, and I was so blessed to be sitting next to Omar Gutierrez, which a lot of our listeners know who Omar is, who speaks this beautiful Spanish. And during the homily, he would just very quietly give me a play-by-play by what the rector of the cathedral was saying. And the importance of just listening to God's call, that it was Jesus as he went out to be baptized. First thing he did before he even did that was to go in the desert and pray and listen to what the Father was calling him to do. Then responded to that, was baptized. Father was pleased. This is my son who I'm well pleased. And then he went off again to pray. Every before Jesus did something, he went and he prayed and he listened. And the director of the cathedral said, that's what we need to do in every aspect of our lives. And it really hit home for us as those who are going to mission. We encounter all these people, and there's so much we want to do for them that the only way to get peace is to, okay, I'm here, Father. What is it that you want me to come away with from this? What can I do? And then in peace, he can give you step by step what you can do. It's just, it's beautiful how that universal message, and you're watching the faces of these beautiful Guatemalan people as they're listening to the same scriptures, the same readings, the same message that is universal to all God's children.
Right.
It's wonderful to be a part of all that.
I understand, too, that you had a wonderful reflection at a Mayan ruin along the way as well, and had a beautiful little lunch and serenaded by a band there as well.
Oh, yeah. When we go to Ishin... Why is it I can never say it when I want to say it? Ishin Vishay. Oh, Susan Nash is going to be laughing. Messing that up. I had it done perfect. It was the first settlement, essentially, in Guatemala, and it is the site of where the Mayan ruins are. And to be able to go there, and the first trip 2 years ago, we were able to climb the ruins and get all the way to the top of these remains of the ruins. But they've sectioned it off, so, because I think it's very steep and probably dangerous for most people to do that. So we weren't able to get all the way to the top of some of them, but just being in that holy ground for those people, for the Mayan people, and having that reflection, we took our shoes off and were just to honor their land, and what they consider sacred, and being invited as guests to be able to participate there. That was really beautiful, and it's always wonderful. I mean, we'll talk more about Luis Marcos, but you talk about a gentle heart, a loving demeanor. Luis is of Mayan descent, comes from the Mayan community here in Guatemala, and he is now a permanent resident in the United States, living in Omaha. And to hear how much he loves America, but also how much he loves his homeland and his people, he wants to share that love with us. And for all of us in Omaha, that whole Guatemalan community, what a blessing to have such beautiful people that truly appreciate the blessing we have in this country, but also what they want to share with us, the beauty of what they have in their homeland and in their hearts. It's a gift that we all should be able to be a part of if we just open up our hearts to them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope that we can offer them the same type of hospitality in our homeland that they are providing for us in a heartbeat.
Right.
And what time is it now, Bruce? I don't have my...
Oh,
I've got like five layers
okay.
of clothes on.
It's
I look like Randy.
7:24.
Christmas Story. Okay, it's 7:24. Well, in our next half hour, we're going to talk to Father Damien Zerline, who's going to give folks just a kind of a brief update of why Ishim is here, what the hope is for the future. And then we'll bring back Omar because, oh, Bruce, you know, I thought on this trip... I wouldn't have the weepy crying session, you know. I thought, now that I'm a seasoned veteran.
Yeah, right.
There's not much more I could see, right?
Yeah.
Disciples of the Good Shepherd. Oh, my gosh. Those girls and women, those women are so pure and so giving in their stories. They share their stories. Oh, thank goodness. I was sitting next to Mary Lou Floral, who had just happened to have a boatload of tissue. I mean, the people on this trip are just fantastic. I mean, to be with Susan Adams, who is just a delight, just brings such great joy to any room she walks into. And oh, did you know that Dr. Chris McVay is quite the singer?
Really?
Yes. She broke out in a whole slew of medley of show tunes for people.
Oh, my.
To keep them entertained. Yeah, so not only can she fix people and help them get healthy, she can entertain them and bring them great joy through her singing voice.
The singing doctor.
That's the kind of, the singing doctor. Oh, and Dr. Lloyd Pierre, oh my, he is so in his element. He had everybody, he's so much fun and he's so humble, but he just gets out there and just greets everybody. The window opens and he calls out and says, hello, hello, and of course in Spanish, and then everybody responds to him. It is just watching all of these missionaries. There's not one here, I can honestly say, that isn't just, their hearts are not just being broken open, and they are pouring out with such enthusiasm.
Right.
And today is the big drive. Today is the big drive through the mountains, way up to the top of, you know, that elevation. And, yeah, it's bone-chilling cold. But really, nobody except for me is complaining about it.
Well, I was going to say, too, quickly with Doc Lloyd Pierre that he's about the same height as most of those Mayan people, so you probably got to keep your eye on him so he doesn't get lost.
Honey, I won't tell him you said that, but you know what? It's not true.
All right, yeah, he's probably a little taller.
Not true. They are so, they're precious. I know why Our Lady loves them so much, because they are so faithful and giving. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is why she, do you not know that I am your mother? And if she's our mother, then that means we're all her children. And she's just, she's like, this is your brother, this is your sister. Love them as I love you, and as I love them. Oh, there's a cow up there. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to go down and get Father Damien while you do the news.
Right. The cow is telling you to move over.
Move, yeah. See, we're staying at this hotel, but it's not really, I'm on the second floor, but it's not really like a hotel. It's like the second level on a big hill.
Sure.
So you got to climb up to get to your room. The scenery is breathtaking.
Yeah.
I mean, but the need is even more so.
You bet.
I'll go get Father Damien.
All right. Welcome, Father Damien, Cloud of Witnesses.
Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, hey, Father. And how are you today?
I'm doing quite well. I think I'm getting used to the weather here. You'd think living in Nebraska that we would be used to cold, but since we have furnaces.
That's right. Well, and then the cold there, probably more of a moist cold, huh?
It is. It is. And they don't have heat in the room, so whatever the temperature is outside is the temperature inside as well, so. My little alarm clock this morning, my travel alarm, has a thermostat on it. It was 56 degrees in my room.
Wow. Wow. Well, Father, it's always a pleasure to be able to talk to you about the wonderful work accomplished by all of the different mission trips that have gone to Guatemala. And why don't we start, since we have an awful lot of new listeners here now on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network, to give everyone a history and a background of Ishim, what it is, how it came to be, and what we do when we're down there on these missionary trips.
Sure. Back in 2003, Curtis and I were talking about my leaving Our Lady of Guadalupe because I had been there the length of time and actually beyond it. And I, in preparation for going to St. Collins of the Basilian, I had read, articles of parishes around the country who had great success in pairing up with sister parishes in third world countries. So I thought, I'd love to offer that to the folks at St. Collins Hills when I go and see if they would want to do that. So I needed to find one, and I was talking to Sergio Sosa, who who is from the Diocese of Huehue Tenango and thinking, you just think there's a parish down here that we could find. And he called the bishop here, talked with him, and he invited us down. So Craig McVeigh, Social Source, and I came down in 2003 and did kind of an exploratory trip, went to about 12 different villages, talked to those villages, and the priests and the pastoral councils there, and about the possibility of a sister parish relationship. But then the bishop here, Bishop Obadiah, didn't want to do sister parishes. He wanted to do sister dioceses. You know, I don't have the authority to make that decision. That I can present it. And so he asked if I would, and I took it back to Archbishop Curtis. And he was open to the idea and willing to look at it. So Bishop Obadiah came up to Omaha, had a meeting with Archbishop Curtis. They talked about the idea of sister diocese and what it would mean. Archbishop Curtis asked that it be kind of slow-growing, rather than him kind of just pronouncing it from above, that we would just begin by doing these trips and letting people get to know each other and building the relationships. And so that's what we've done. We've really struggled to make sure it's an experience of solidarity, which Pope John Paul had asked for, you know, between dioceses in the Americas, that we walk together in being Christian brothers and sisters, so that it's not just us from the north thinking we know everything or can do everything, but learning the experience here and then together coming up with solutions. They offer the experience to us, they offer a deep faith, a deep and profound love, and their sense of family and spirit, and then we in turn from the north offer our experience and technical skills and those kind of things that we can bring down, and then just sharing that brotherhood. So what we've done over the years, in each of the trips, we've had a medical project, and like on this trip, we have three doctors and then nurses with us. So when we go out to a village, we offer them that those skills and abilities, and then they have 11 Catholic schools down here, so we've been working with the Catholic schools to try and support them, and what we'll be doing on this trip is teaching the teachers. So our folks down here who have experience teaching, we'll teach the teachers here. And then there's always been a work project. And as we experienced yesterday, one of our special projects that we've had with the diocese here, the Disciples of the Good Shepherd, which is a group of women, consecrated women, similar to like Pro Sanctity in Omaha, who dedicate their lives in service to the church. And they're just wonderful young women, but it might take them 10, 12, 15 years to reach a point where they have a university education and can go back to the parishes and offer their services. So they've been one of our special projects. We built the house that they live in. We support them with their studies, and we have between those godparent supporters for them who help them each year. So it was kind of our basic project.
Right, and with the Disciples of the Good Shepherd, I mean, this is a very, very important aspect of this, because these young women then, as you said, return to their villages as pastoral ministers, and we do have the opportunity, as people listening here in the Archdiocese of Omaha, the Diocese of Lincoln, Des Moines, and Grand Island, to be able to support these young women financially. And we do look for, what was it, Father? And you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's $1,000 a year to sponsor a woman, and that provides pretty much everything for them, doesn't it?
That pretty much takes care of their room and board for the year. And then the young women also go to work and go to school, and then they're in formation at the house. So they get some support from their families as well to help pay their tuition in school, buy books, and those kind of things. But the $1,000 goes a long way toward making life much better for these young women. I mean, you could just see on their faces, they have just a great appreciation and love for us because of what their supporters and the machine has done for them.
Mm-hmm. And one of the other big aspects of Isshim working there in Guatemala, Father, over the years, has been purification of the water. I mean, this is really very, very essential projects, aren't they?
It is. And that arose out of the medical mission. So we had done probably 4 or 5 missions where we had doctors here. And what we were seeing was a lot of stomach intestinal problems, which made people tired and weak and not able to respond. So we've been looking around at simple systems that could be built in these villages that would provide pure water. So we joined up with a project called Living Waters that provides these kind of systems throughout the world, and sent people down and got trained, and then we installed 2 systems initially just as pilot projects to see how it would go. And then since then, we've installed another 2. So we have 4 systems up and running. At one point, a couple of years ago, we had too many requests from villages, everybody wanting to put one in. And I think, well, slow down. It's going to take us a while. But of course, when you start offering people pure water, then that's what they want. So it's just a process of teaching and learning for them to realize that it's drinking out of the river or drinking out of what comes off the roof or wherever they're getting their water from has an impact upon my health. And I feel much better if I drink clean water.
Right. And Bill Schumacher and Tom Mertz, who are along with you now, already busy. They were able to put a couple of small systems in for the Disciples of the Good Shepherd, too, weren't they?
We have. Dr. Michael's down at Creighton University has put in a number of these very simple house systems, about 1,000 of them I think they've put in the Dominican Republic, and we're learning from them and seeing if we can do the same thing in the homes here. So the Disciples are testing this out to see how this would work, but it's a simple bucket system. The entire system probably costs about $20 and should last about 5 years, so it's we'll see how it works. It's very slow, unlike the other system, which makes about 1,500 gallons of water a day. This might make two to four gallons a day. So just works it for a family.
Right. And a couple of more systems will be installed in your ultimate destination. Is it Santa Eulalia? Is that where you're going?
We're going up to Santa Eulalia today, which as the crow flies isn't very far. But there's a 3 to 4 hour drive on the mountainous road, so it's a very dramatic drive. I'm sure the group will enjoy the experience.
Right. Father, let's talk a little bit about one of the most important aspects of Isshim down there, and these are the medical teams that that come. I mean, Dr. Chris McVeigh, we talk about a saint in the making. Certainly, Chris fits that bill. Dr. Lloyd Pierre along with you. What do you hope to accomplish on the medical mission side of these things as we go down there mission after mission?
Two things. One is just seeing patients. So they're hoping to see each doctor 30 to 40 or more a day while they're up in the village. So we'll see the folks who are in need of a doctor. This village is 3 hours away from the nearest doctor, so this gives them a chance to talk to a doctor for maybe the first time in years. And then the other part is the training of the local people. So we have the local health promoters working side by side with our doctors, and they learn a lot just in all these encounters with person after person during the medical mission. So they're the folks in the villages who are encouraging good health and kind of like nurse practitioners, I suppose, back in the States, so not as well trained. So they learn a lot through
right.
the experience of what medicines to prescribe and the symptoms require them to go into hospital or not. And, those 2 things are what we'll do.
Right. And obviously we were trying to help here through the radio station in getting vitamins and over-the-counter pain relievers, topical skin creams, and things like that. How was the response to that? And everyone's suitcase hopefully was packed to overflowing with these medicines?
They are. We pack a second suitcase full of medicines. It kind of strange looks at the airport, but
yeah.
checking bags through, but But there's one thing I know, we're a mission group. They're pretty used to it, I think. And those people have been very generous, and we appreciate all of that. No matter what, when somebody comes in to the clinic, even if nothing we can do for them, we can give them some vitamins and maybe take away a little bit of their pain. And so at least we give them something that says, we care about you, and we can help you with this a little bit. We may not be able to cure your illness because it's beyond what we can do here on this trip, but we can help you a little bit.
Right. Now, Father, we noticed, too, that there'll be another summer 2010 trip coming up to Guatemala, and there'll be some information sessions coming forward. So if people are interested, there may be people out there, it's like, this is sounds like something the Holy Spirit is calling me to. We do encourage them to get to these information sessions.
Yep. And the information sessions will lay out what we know so far about the trip, explain a little bit more about what a sheen is and the long-term goals, and then just answer your questions, because people usually have lots and lots of questions. And the whole experience of solidarity is kind of new. I think there's a temptation for us to come down and want to build something each time, and sometimes it's a slow process of just walking together, and that, for the American side, that can be a bit frustrating. I can speak from
sure.
my own experience.
Right.
I wanted to go with it, but no, you can't.
All right. There are three information sessions coming up this month of January, and the first one is this Sunday, January 17th, 6:30 in the evening. That'll be at St. Robert Bellarmine Parish, 119th and Pacific. The second one, Tuesday, January 26th, 7 in the evening at St. Leo's, 1920 North 102nd Street. And the third will be January 28th, 7 p.m. at St. Columbkeel Parish. That'll be in the Steinhausen Center, South 84th and Cornhusker. That's East 6th Street in Papillion. So if you do have an interest in being a missionary on the summer 2010 trip to Guatemala, please attend one of those information sessions. You can email Susan Natz at creighton.edu. We'll have all the information up on our website as well. Well, Father, thanks for spending time with us today, and we're praying for you and all of the missionaries. Could we ask you to impart a blessing upon us and our listeners?
I sure can. As the sun is coming up over the horizon right now, it's just feeling great down here and warming my face up. So in that spirit, we ask for God's blessings upon all the listeners, upon all who have supported us and care for us, and God to be with them throughout this day and to bring them ever closer to Him through our love of neighbor. So may God's blessings be upon you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you very much, Father. God bless you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
All right.
Hi, Bruce. It's Chris again.
Well, hello there.
Just real quick before I put Omar on, I just want to say to those who have done the mission trip in the past, to really consider coming back again. I'll tell you that the second time around, you absorb even more. And just when I thought that I was an old pro and I'd be able to handle any challenge, we're going to get stretched a little bit, because this time on this mission trip, instead of staying with one family up in the mountains, which I didn't know this until, 2 days ago, we're actually going to stay with three separate families. We're going to be staying with, each night, we're going to go to a different family, because they so much wanted to be able to care for us and nurture for us and experience us, that that should be really interesting.
Well, what a blessing.
Packing up and moving to another family and then to another family and to another family. So, we'll tell you more about that experience. But here's Omar, because we all love him. And yesterday was quite the diocesan day, wasn't it, Omar?
Certainly was, Chris. Hi, Bruce.
Good morning, Omar, and how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well.
Well, I thought what we would do, we had a little bit of difficulty with the phone being a little muddled yesterday, so I thought if you might just kind of recap a little bit about what you were talking about yesterday, particularly your impressions of a wonderful homily you heard at a Mass yesterday, and just your overall impressions of being on the mission trip here just a few days into it.
Cool. Okay. All right. Well, 2 days ago, we heard a wonderful homily by the rector of the Cathedral in Antigua. And he focused a good deal on what you would think a homilist would focus on the feast of the baptism of the Lord, on the importance of prayer and meditation. And then we spent a good deal of time on the bus, actually, traveling to Huehuetenango. Yesterday, we spent a good deal of time talking with representatives from the diocese here in Huehuetenango, and we met the bishop, who they explained to us sort of the structure of the diocese and the realities of Guatemala and the realities of the department of Huehuetenango, which is kind of like their word for the state of Huehuetenango. The description of the deaneries and that sort of thing. What was fascinating for me, and again, this was my experience in talking to one of the workers for the diocese. His name is Carlos, who's the head of the Catholic education here. He's our Monsignor Guild. Was how similar the hopes and dreams and some of the issues are between the Guatemalan here and us in Omaha. You know, the tagline for this Ishim project, this Ishim mission, is solidarity, and to recognize that we are all the same, particularly in light of the fact that we are all baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ, as St. Paul says. So the similarities are astounding. They want to accomplish a lot of the same things that we want to accomplish in our ministries and the archdiocesan level. But what's of course radically different are the nature of some of the challenges, the obstacles they have to overcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell us a little bit too about yesterday meeting the disciples of the Good Shepherd and literally kind of getting your nose down on the floor and doing a little dancing.
Yes, that was certainly a great deal of calisthenics. We do calisthenics here as well in Guatemala. We went to go see the Disciples of Good Shepherd, which they're an organization started about 11 years ago by the diocese here in Huehuetenango, to address a very particular problem. And I've come on, Bruce, as you know, a number of times talking about social justice and the social doctrine of the Church. And as I said a number of times, regardless if you're reading Leo the 13th or Vatican II or John Paul II, when we talk about trying to put social justice into action, you always start with the family. It always starts with marriage and family, marriage and family. And here, it seems the central problem is the way that women are treated. And on top of that, the way indigenous women or Mayan women are treated is even worse than even women in general are treated. Mm-hmm. They don't get the education they need. They don't get the health care they need. They're often subject to a great deal of violence, sexual and otherwise. It's really a terrible situation. When you have half of the population, or a little over half of the population, who's treated so terribly, you don't have that fundamental in the family that to bring about true social justice, true reform, a true culture of love. And what's going on here is a violation of the natural law and also of God's law. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we forget that in Ephesians 5, St. Paul, he talks about the wife being subject to the husband. We forget that just two or three verses before that, St. Paul says, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Right.
That the man and the woman are called to subject themselves to each other in the order of love. And if you don't have that love that's central to the family, you can't possibly bring about the true culture. So these disciples of the Good Shepherd were founded 11 years ago in order to start taking women, young girls, and you know, girls in teenage years and in their 20s as well, and educate them, teach them about human rights, teach them about their own rights as human persons and as women, educate them in theology and reading and teach them Spanish. A lot of the indigenous people don't know Spanish. They speak their own little dialect of whatever Mayan ethnic group they happen to belong to. And then, with that knowledge, it equips them to be able to hopefully consecrate themselves to God. Last May, apparently, they consecrated three young ladies who took vows of the three classic vows of obedience and poverty and chastity, then become servants in parishes to help other women, to help married women, to help
the priests, there are only 22 priests here and for 32 parishes in the diocese of Olathe-Mengo. And so to help the church do the mission of the church, which is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to every single individual and truly bring about a culture of love.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, Omar, thanks for spending time with us. I'm sure in successive days here we'll be talking to you more, and safe travels to Santa Eulalia today. And when you get to the host families and everything else, I'm sure that will open a whole new chapter of this mission trip for you as well.
That's right. Well, thank you, Bruce, for the opportunity. And God bless you over there in Omaha.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
Are we still on the air?
Yes, we're still on the air.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Sorry. I was just talking with Dr. Lloyd Pierre, who's eating too many eggs. He's eating all the eggs. But that's okay. We're going to be getting our folks. We're not exactly sure what we'll be experiencing as we travel up the mountain today, but
right.
Whatever it is, it'll be a big dose of love.
You bet. Well, know that we're all praying for you here in the Omaha area, and praying for all the missionaries and everybody down there in Guatemala.
Well, we're really excited, and we're, you know, some of us are just a little nervous, but that's okay. The Lord stretches us, and we just have a lot of different projects to be working on. I just found out yesterday that I'll be working with catechists and high school kids.
Oh, beautiful.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that first day, and then the second and third day I'll be in the clinic working with the medical team. But on that first day, it's going to be kind of neat talking to those who are probably not dissimilar to our own catechists who are trying to pass on the faith.
You bet.
And actually, it's not even so much passing it on, it's sharing in it. You know, the living, breathing, loving relationship.
Body of Christ.
Once you're done, I love you.
All right.
And never forget, I'll pass on all his thoughts to them. How's that?
All right. Sounds like a great deal.